You just reminded me. So actually, I have not been using hook grip myself because it is painful at the beginning. Sometimes it was for me. After I read your studies, I started hook gripping and now I can't lift heavy without hook grip. So a personal note.
Oh yeah, there's definitely discomfort with learning it. And I mean, there's some little tips and tricks.
Hi, Dustin. It's my pleasure to have you in Evidence Strong Show. If you could briefly introduce yourself, that would be awesome.
Sure. Thanks for having me, Alex. So yeah, my name is Dustin Orenchuk. I'm from Calgary, Alberta in Canada. And so I did my undergrad there and I kind of started off on the field of strength and conditioning, sports teams and things like that. That eventually led me to come to the United States, work with some hockey players before finding a master's program and again, staying with the sports and volleyball and basketball and such. And then probably about halfway through my master's, I realized I wanted to be in more of an academic setting long term. So I had that in mind and searching for scholarships and things like that. Went back home from the States, worked with some football teams for a while, and then headed down Oceania and spent a few years in New Zealand and Australia, where I earned my PhD in sports science, mostly having to do with contraction types and neuromuscular adaptations. But as we'll talk about today, some weightlifting type studies. And then came back to Canada again for S&C Sports Science. And currently, I'm a full-time researcher at the University of Colorado, just a little bit outside of Denver, focusing mostly on resistance training and aging and disease and things like that.
So awesome. So obviously you are very knowledgeable in terms of sports science, but you are probably the only person in the whole entire world I found who published research on hook grip. And we in weightlifting are very interested in hook grip and what it can do for us. So that's the topic of our conversation today. And I would like to start with a definition. So what is a hook grip and how to do it properly?
Sure. So the hook grip is a way of gripping the barbell. It's popular in other sports as well, but really sort of comes from Olympic weightlifting. As far as I know, I don't think it came from anywhere else and then was then adopted. But there's lots of pictures online and articles. But essentially, if you have a barbell, you're grabbing your thumb around the bar and then gripping your other fingers over your thumb. And the idea and what actually happens is now the bar cannot easily spin out of your hand or roll out of your hand like it would if you were grappling without that thumb underneath. So the tissues or the leverage of the thumb just kind of lock everything into place. And yeah, that's been adopted more and more by power lifters doing the deadlift because they don't want to do the switch grip and risk a torn bicep. And little by little, hopefully, team sport athletes, American football players, rugby players, etc., might start adopting the hook grip as well.
You just reminded me. So actually, I have not been using hook grip myself because it is painful at the beginning. Sometimes it was for me. After I read your studies, I started hook gripping and now I can't lift heavy without hook grip. So a personal note.
Oh yeah, there's definitely discomfort with learning it. And I mean, there's some little tips and tricks. Some people use tape on their thumb to try and, make it a little bit less painful and keep the skin in better shape. And then it's probably a good idea to rotate between the hook grip and straps to just make sure the skin on your thumb doesn't get too beat up. And then there's some really old school tricks about growing your thumbnails like really long, and that supposedly disperses the force better. Yeah, so there's some old videos of like Khalil Mulu and Hussein Rezazadeh. There's like a view from the back, and Zazadeh's got this like disgustingly long thumbnail because his hands were so thick. He needed that extra bit of thumbnail to get another finger on his hook grip. And I found it works too. If I'm doing like, I don't do much in the way of weightlifting movements anymore, more heavy deadlifts. But if I trim my thumbnails too short, I do notice it's a little bit more painful than when the thumbnail's long.
That's an awesome story. We should investigate it more.
Yeah, baby.
All right. So this is why we should consider hook gripping. It presumably makes us better weightlifters, and you actually checked it scientifically. So I would love you to tell us what was the design of the study, how you were thinking about it, and what you did.
Sure. So the hook grip, I mean, it's been something I've been using for a long time myself. So I competed in weightlifting from the age of roughly 17 until about 22-ish. So not a real time, but enough time where, you learn everything, and hook grip is one of the very first things that you end up learning in weightlifting. You might go a couple of sessions pretty quick if you've got a qualified coach. They're showing you what to do and how to grip it, and should become as no surprise as I don't think there's a single competitive weightlifter in the world at any relatively high level that doesn't do it. So the idea behind the study really was not about necessarily weightlifting. It had to do with non-weightlifting athletes and getting them to potentially adopt them or see if how big of a difference it would make. And this came along because, as I mentioned, when I finished the Masters, I went back to my hometown of Calgary and I started working with American football team there and did lots of high pulls and some power cleans and things like that. And after a little while, I thought to myself, a lot of the players asked, you know, well, I showed them hook grip, they didn't like it, but I kept telling, oh, it'll make you better, but you know, I didn't really have the evidence for it. And then when I decided to move to Australia or New Zealand, sorry, to do the PhD, I wanted to do some side studies and learn the lab, make some friends. And I knew there was a fairly decent sort of contingent of researchers and students there that were into barbell sports. So we decided to, hey, do a little like side investigation outside of all of our PhDs, outside of our main projects. And, you know, it was a fun time. Essentially what we did, we had a familiarization session, and then it randomly would work up to essentially a one rep max in specific intervals in the power clean with and without the hook grip.
Okay. Well, could you tell us whether these participants were athletes of other sports or?
So I'm just looking. So yeah, we had 11 well-trained men. And even though our cutoff was body weight, the average was 1.34 times their body weight for the power clean. And then if I'm looking for age, so these studies are a couple of years old now, so I don't remember all the little details right off the top of my head. Got the section. So the mean and standard deviation for the age was 28.1 plus or minus 5.6 years of age.
Awesome. So you asked them to work up to their one rep max in power clean, and what did you measure?
Yeah, so the basically the jumps were the weight progressions were based on the familiarization session, and the familiarization session we got them up to a one repetition max without the hook grip. So that served as a because they're also used to the hook grip, that actually served also as a familiarization session for not the hook grip or the closed grip as we called it. And then if hypothetically they finished at 100 kilos in that particular session, then they would undergo a series of warm-up attempts at 50%, 60%, 70%.
All right, so now we're ready to hear how you tested and what you measured.
Yeah, so as I said before, we had force plates under the feet for ground reaction forces. We had a linear position transducers around the ends of the barbell for velocity. We also had a camera on the right side of the barbell to measure the bar path variables, how far it's swinging away and displacement and vertical and horizontal. And then we were measuring all of those things. And immediately after the lifts, we would also ask them four questions about how nice the grip felt or how secure the grip felt off the ground at the knee during the second pull, and if the rack felt comfortable as well onto the shoulders. So during the familiarization session, all the participants worked up to a one repetition max with the closed grip. So that acted as a familiarization session for not using the hook grip, since everybody in the study was used to the hook grip predominantly for their power clean movements or weightlifting movements as a whole. And then based on what they got up to in that familiarization session, we calculated the jumps that we wanted to actually assess during the next two sessions, which were randomized between with hook grip and without the hook grip. So during those sessions, they would perform after a general like arm swings and lunges and things like that. They would do 8 reps at 50% of their max, so quite a lot. And we recorded all, and then 3 repetitions at 60%, 2 repetitions at 70%, and then 1 repetition each at 80, 85, 90, 95, and then 100. And then depending on the session, how things were going, they allowed to go beyond that. So that allowed us to not only compare 85% and 85% and 90% and 90% of the hook grip or the non-hook grip on our app, I should say, but also say, okay, how much further could they go with the hook grip than without the hook grip? And then the next session, they would do the opposite grip. So 3 total sessions.
So for the above 100%, did you have any rule? They were allowed every 2.5 kilos, or could they go 1 kilo up? What was the rule?
Yeah, so they could go up by as little as 1 kilo. We had all the equipment that we needed, the little eco change plates and whatnot. So when they went beyond the 100% of their closed grip max, which was pretty regular, even in the closed grip, you know, they're typically able to go a couple of kilos more than their familiarization session. And unsurprisingly, when they used the hook grip, most were able to go quite a bit beyond the no hook session. But they were all pretty comfortable, all good weightlifters. So they kind of had the idea, okay, I feel comfortable with a 4 kilo jump, and then they'd make that, and then, okay, I feel comfortable with a 2 kilo jump. And the researchers as well were we're pretty well versed in weightlifting. Most of us had either competed or done it in our training at some point, so we could kind of converse with the participant and come up with a weight and say, oh, I don't know about four, but three, sure, we'll try that. And then they'd made that. So we have a little bit of a discussion between the lifts.
I see. Thank you. Results, please.
Yes. So we had two outputs, so two manuscripts or publications from this particular collection, because with the bar path stuff and the force plate stuff, and the LPT, and the questionnaire, and the 1RM, and it was just, it was too much to fit into one paper. The main one, probably the result that most people are most interested in is, well, what is the difference in 1RM? And the difference in the 1RM was almost 7 kilograms. And again, the average participant was 84 kilos, and the average power clean max self-reported was 1.34. So that, that 6.8 kilos works out to 109.4 with the hook grip versus 102.6 without the hook grip. So that was like a moderate effect size and statistically significant as well.
So was it 6.7% or kilograms?
Kilograms.
Okay.
But the max was, you know, just a little bit more kilograms with the closed grip. So probably works out to something 7 to 8% difference.
That's amazing. That's worth doing then.
Yeah, it seems like that. So there's a little bit of subtlety in those results, I guess. So if, you know, it comes as no surprise that if all the weightlifters do it, that it's probably going to be better, right? There's, it's not like we're going to change people's minds and instantly get weightlifters to do it or not do it. They're already doing it. So there are some other little interesting things with the results where the differences were in velocity and displacement and all these types of things were not very big when we're talking about submaximal loads, submaximal weights. So, you know, one of the conclusions of that first paper and the second paper for that matter is that if you have participants or if you're a strength and conditioning coach and you decide, okay, I'm not going to have my athletes perform the catching variations where they're actually racking the bar on the shoulder, we're going to do high pulls or hang high pulls or something like that, and you're working specifically to maximize power output, like watts from a position transducer or something like that, then it seems like until you get to the very heavy weights that there's not really that big of a difference between the velocities, the powers, the forces that are going into the ground, or perceptions for that matter, if you don't use the hook grip. So sort of the message there, I guess, is if you are completing the lift, your goal is to get better and lift heavier weights, then hook grip, definitely. There's no real argument there based on our data and based on 100 years of weightlifting history. But if you're doing the non-catching variations, high pulls, things like that, at sub-maximal or lighter weights, then you could probably get away with not using it and your athletes don't have to worry about that discomfort from the hook grip we talked about earlier.
Okay, so you can lift more, but where does it come from?
When we looked at the what's going on at the barbell level, which is essentially the first paper, we do see that with the hook, you get greater velocities, greater displacements, which allows you to go heavier with the hook grip, right? Go a little bit higher before you get to the point where velocity is not high enough for you to get under the bar and catch it. And because of that, you have higher power outputs and higher forces when you're estimating it linear position transducer. The thing is with the second study where we actually looked more at the bar path is the bar path doesn't change. And we also looked at the forces going into the ground through your feet, through that force plate, which is more to do with the forces that are actually exposing your body to. You know, the barbell is great and the barbell is the most important thing during a competitive weightlifting meet, right? Who lifts the most weight? And to lift the most weight, you need to displace that barbell by the most, roughly. I mean, there's bottom position differences between people, but in the end, you know, if you can't displace it high enough to be able to get under it, then your bottom position doesn't matter, right? So but the second paper ended up focusing a little bit more on both the bar path and the forces going into the force plates. So the bar path, I'll just kind of get that out of the way. There's pretty minimal difference in horizontal bar path. So the amount of swing and forward and backward movement that you get at the bar, there's that sort of classic S curve that, you know, most people who are well-versed in weightlifting are familiar with. We know it varies based on the athlete, but it kind of, it fits a mold for pretty much anybody who's efficient at the lifts, and the hook grip didn't really seem to affect that very much at all. Interesting thing from the second one when we looked at the force plates was even though, you know, they're moving the barbell faster and therefore more barbell power, barbell velocity, and barbell displacement. The amount of force going through the body into the force plates was very minimal, and at no point at very few points outside of when we were comparing hook grip max with close grip max, where the barbell weight is different. That was the only time when we actually had statistical differences in ground reaction forces. But at the same absolute load, so 85 kilos versus 85 kilos, the difference in force going into the ground was never significantly different between hook grip and non-hook grip, regardless of the phase of the pull or the catch phase standing up from the catch. And that's what kind of led us to conclude in the second paper that if you're not going to go to maximum, if you're always submaximal, focusing on just power and barbell, you know, speed and stuff, and the forces going through your body, which is what's going to create the physiological adaptation to run faster, jump farther, all of these types of things, that the hook grip isn't actually needed to get a pretty good response or to get a similar response from the bodies that are going through the forces that are going through the body.
Very interesting. So I maybe missed it. So where the difference you think come from? Because all the things are similar. Forces are different where the weight is different, but we would expect that. So this is not the reason. This is more, I see it as a consequence. So why?
Yeah. So I think you're right on the money, Alex, where yes, it's a consequence, not the cause of, I suppose. So basically at the end of the day, based on the studies that we did, we don't know for sure. We were not sort of able to answer our question because first paper was basically like, these are the performance differences, how the barbell moves and power and 1RM. And then the second one, we wanted to try and figure out, okay, well, why? Like, we know it works, but why? Is it the forces that go through the body? Is it improvement in bar path characteristics? And neither one of those seemed to be particularly true. You know, there's little trends here and there, but definitely nothing clear cut. So we're left with a little bit of speculation. And I think at the end of the day, the authorship team sort of believe that it probably has something to do with ability to kind of move the bar and the body around each other. So especially when it comes to the transition between the pull and the catch. And the reason, you know, the barbell path is no different, but perhaps how the body is moving around the bar and the speed of the rack phase, because that probably wouldn't be, you know, greatly shown in the force plate data, because a lot of the time when you're pulling under, you know, that rack catch, a lot of people are actually off the ground for a lot of that time. And it's sort of considered the weightless phase, where even if your feet are on the force plate or on the ground, there's really not that much force going through. You're almost floating there for a few moments. And that's just kind of what we think is going on. And even though it didn't reach statistical significance, when we looked at the force time curves, the close grip had, the force was higher in the close grip, just not by a statistical factor or a statistically significant value. So that kind of leads us to believe that the bar actually crashes a little bit more, or falls a little bit more from the peak to the shoulder without the hook grip, with the close grip. And so there's some sort of inefficiency going on when you're not using the hook grip during the turnover.
That's awesome. I really like this answer because it highlights the gap that we will probably never get rid of between the science and the practice. The things you were talking about, you just didn't measure. So you kind of have to guess. But because you measured the things around it, you can say, okay, that's not this, not this, not this. It could be this, because we didn't measure. We don't know. But
yeah, and I think it would be interesting if, you know, I'm kind of a little bit away from this area now, but it would be interesting if there was like a master's or a student or something out there wanted to look into it further. And maybe they could even use some sort of EMGs to look at the muscles around the elbows and the shoulders and the hands. And, you know, I could actually try and measure like the difference in tension when you're hook gripping versus not. You tend to have to, you know, really kind of put an extra amount of tension through your arms to keep a good grip without hook grip. And so maybe there's something there, there's some sort of an energy leak going on there, or like our motion capture was from the side. So you have a big plate and you can't really see what's going on. Is there a crash or not? Whereas if we had a camera from the front, or if you had a 3D motion capture system, then maybe you might be able to work that out a little bit further. But I'm not sure the message would really change in terms of why to use a hook grip or not at that point. It'd be more for intellectual curiosity.
Yeah. Could we sum up? Hook grip, yes, for weightlifters and the athletes who need 1RM, I guess, and everyone else could keep it?
Yeah, I suppose so. It's probably hard to give a complete thing, but I think that's about as close as we're going to get. So for weightlifting athletes, absolutely. If your goal is to lift more weight, maybe you're a CrossFit athlete and you have snatch and cleans and things like that in your competition, then absolutely. Weightlifters, for sure. sure. There's probably good reason for powerlifters to use the hook grip, especially if you're potentially worried about imbalances and things like that, or maybe the switch grip, you know, we're gripping the barbell in opposite directions. I mean, it just doesn't feel good for you. A lot of people find they twist and their back doesn't feel great. So absolutely hook grip if your goal is to lift more weights, for sure, which it probably is for most people anyway. And, you know, when I was working with that football team and kind of came up with this research question, you know, the American football players, rugby players, a lot of these guys are a little bit meatheads and they just want to lift more weight, lift as much weight as possible. And even if you tell them, okay, we're going to keep it really, you know, really light today and just focus on power, they still want to have as much advantage as they possibly can. So if you were to tell them, oh, you probably will only get a little bit out of hook, they'll probably want to just
competitive.
A little bit of an advantage and outlift their friend that they're on the same platform with. But yeah, if you did happen to have a sports team where the goal is not what weight is on the barbell, but what forces are going through the body, pull variations, high pulls, etc., especially submaximally, then you know, hook grip probably isn't a necessity, especially if they just don't like it. They don't like how it feels on their thumb. You know, maybe it scrapes them up, or they just mentally aren't into it because of the pain or discomfort or the learning curve. Then hey, it's probably okay, and you're probably still doing a good job by doing the high pulls and the weightlifting variations.
Last two questions. The first one is, what is your favorite color?
If I had to pick just one color, it'd probably be red, although I've been thinking a lot more about the color wheel patterns and combo with colors. So
yeah, probably good. I accept.
Probably the combo I'm happy with the most recently is actually like a neon green and gray combo. I like that.
All right. Awesome. And the last question, where people can find you and your work if they want to follow you or if they want to contact you?
Yeah. So in terms of like just pure research stuff, I'm on ResearchGate. So researchgate.net. And then if you were to search for my name, just Dustin Hornchuk, I'm sure you probably see that in the description of this video, then it should be pretty easy to find my profile there. I'm on Twitter or X as just Dustin Hornchuk. So same name, at Dustin Hornchuk. Usually retweeting stuff for the most part, but I'll share whenever one of my papers comes out or anything really cool. And I'm on Instagram as well. Occasionally I'll share some lifting videos, but most of it's just my everyday life, so probably not that interesting.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Pleasure to talk to you, Dustin. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Alex. And what's your favorite color?
Blue.
Okay.
Like sea blue.
Makes sense.
Thank you.